My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Lena.
Ian.
How have you been?
Dude, so good. So sleepy. My tummy hurts a little bit, but I'm good. How are you?
So good, so sleepy. Not to brag, my tummy does not hurt.
Ugh, dude.
So, but you know it does hurt? My entire shin all the time.
Dude, cut it off.
I know. I'm going to. I'm telling you, these cold opens are getting real awkward because we truly spend almost every waking minute together. And it's like, what do we talk about? No, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying usually.
You're saying I'm uninteresting?
Yes, I am saying specifically that you are very boring.
I showed everyone at Comedy Tech last night my impression of me married to which is actually my impression of me meeting Armin Shammerman. And I was like, oh, Armin. Like, gone to see him, a big fan. Everyone was like, shy you is so funny. And I was like, I know. Hilarious. Hey.
Outgoing you is also very funny.
Shit.
Don't let them tell you any differently.
They were just trying to say they like it better when I shut up. They're like, I like you better shy.
They're like, honestly, Lena, I mean, when you talk, it's very funny. But like, when you are shy and you don't say a word, I'd say it's so funny you should do that more.
When you just sit there and look adorable and don't say any words, honestly, when your breathing is also very quiet, very like, good.
Lena, I think you are the funniest and most likable when you are alone in your room and you don't come to the parties.
When you don't honestly, come to our party.
That's the most fun.
We love it when you hold down the fort in your own bed. So go there. That'll help the party.
I'm going to keep all that in. I'm just going to bleep his name for privacy reasons. That's our cold open. Let's hit the episode.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
One, two, three. Oh, do that again. That was my fault. I was off. One, two, three. One more time.
What's wrong with us?
One, two, three. That's the one. That one was exact.
Oh.
Lena.
Ian.
How have you been?
So good. A little tired. My tummy hurts a little bit. But other than that, I'm good. How are you?
Let's do cold open again. I've been pretty sleepy. I've been good. Not to brag, my tummy has not hurt. Anyways.
I have this green juice right now to try and help my tummy.
Hey-o.
My roommate bought it for me with a note that says, hope this helps you poop.
Aww.
Am I too open on this podcast?
No, I don't think you're open enough.
I think so. Everybody poops.
Frankly, too many episodes have passed without you talking about your bowel movements. And
that's what I'm saying.
It's upsetting to me. Upsetting.
Like, I'm the pretty one and also the relatable one. The one who poops.
I'm the pretty one and I'm the one who talks about poop all the time.
Dude, I like growing up, my parents and like my mom, my stepdad, they tried so hard to like make me like a lady, you know, like prim and proper. And I can't. I don't know how.
It's not in your DNA.
You know what is in my DNA?
What?
Glee. Let's talk about it.
You guys, hello. What's up? My name is Ian Allred. I am an unremarkable pooper. I am, however, a Gleek.
Hey, what's up? My name is Lena Knatzer. I wish I was a remarkable pooper.
I said unremarkable.
Yeah, no, totally. I didn't want to say the same thing, but also I tried to change it just a little bit. So I, like, so that, you know, when you like when you send your essay into like the thing that like checks it, it's not going to clock that. But essentially, I said the same thing.
Don't want EP Tiff to notice that we're plagiarizing each other. So
yeah.
We try to scramble it a little bit.
just a titch. But I'm a Gleek. Are you ready to talk about the penultimate episode of season 2?
Let's put the fun in funeral, baby.
Dude, come to the fun home. That's the Bechdel funeral home, baby.
The Bechdel fun home. I don't know the words to this part. Okay. So
didn't we? Am I making this up? Did we try to do that for a miscast, you and me?
I think we talked about it because we thought it would be so funny since that song is sung by 10-year-olds for both of us who are like around 6 feet tall to sing that song.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a passing conversation.
Okay,
it never happened.
Got it.
Yeah. I think we were like listening to Fun Home on a drive and the idea like,
we should do
past.
Honestly, we should still do it.
The number
if we go to a miscast night, we should do that.
The number of things that we have talked about doing at performances
and haven't done
is immense.
I know.
We've had many ideas.
Every musical I come across, I'm like, ugh, we should be in this. There's a role for us in every musical.
That's
I stand
true.
By it. No, not every musical. But.
One of the pillars of our friendship is me texting you and saying, I'm listening to this musical and you should play this part.
Yeah.
One time I was on a road trip, like by myself, I decided to drive 7 hours. And I think, because I was just listening to shows, and I think I texted you 3 separate times.
Yeah, it was honestly concerning how much you were texting.
It was like, I'm listening to Spamalot and you should be the Lady of the Lake. And an hour later, I was like, I'm listening to How to Succeed, and you should be Rosemary. And then 5 minutes later, I was like, you should also be Schmitty. And then
Schmitty.
5 minutes later, I was like, you should also be Hetty. You should be any woman in this show.
That's true. I should be any woman in that show.
All right. On to the Glee fun home.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the Glecks.
So, funeral is the 20.
Are you trying to do this memorized?
First. Episode.
I'm over this bit.
Of season 2 is the 42nd, 43rd episode overall. It was released on May 17th, 2011. Very exciting. It's directed by Bradley Bucher, who also did Never Been Kissed and Comeback and original song. It is written by Guess.
Ryan Murphy.
Correct.
Yes. Are you kidding? Dude,
I am
it
not.
It is so Ryan Murphy to me because it's trying to be Ian Brennan, but it's not successful. What? Who said that?
Who just walked into my apartment and said that rude thing about Ryan Murphy? It was not one of us. It was my roommate who is currently trying to sneak out. Bye, have a good day. All right.
Yeah.
Songs in this episode.
Oh, tell me.
Back to Black by Amy Winehouse, sung by Santana Lopez.
Wow.
Some People from Gypsy, sung by Kurt Hummel.
Wow.
This performance was choreographed by Chris Colfer himself.
Fun!
Try a Little Tenderness by Otis Redding, sung by Mercedes Jones. My Man from Funny Girl, sung by Rachel Berry. This is Lea Michele's favorite song of all time. Mm. It is the first time she ever cried while recording the song in the studio. As we know, she cries...
She cries whenever she has a solo.
Yeah, she cries like when she's performing, like lip-syncing on set, like it's her day job. It is her go-to move. But this is the first time that like the actual singing of it in the recording studio, she started crying. Also during this performance, she is wearing like little, shoes. She's wearing shoes that you can see a lot of her foot. I was going to say the type of shoe, and then I was like, Ian, you don't know what that kind of shoe is called.
What kind of shoe would you have said?
like a, it's like a slipper number, but it's not like a bedtime slipper.
Is it like a clog almost, where it like doesn't have a back?
No.
Is it like a ballet flat?
It's like a ballet flat. Yes. Let's go with that.
Okay.
It's like a ballet flap, probably. I don't know. But the glact is that you can see her tattoo on her right foot because she's wearing those shoes. She also sang this at MusiCare's tribute to Barbara Streisand for Barbara herself.
That's so special. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And then the last song is Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, sung by the New Directions. Mm-hmm. All right. So in this episode, we see Figgin's email on the computer. His email address is gettingfiggywithit @AOL.com. And while the show was on air, it has since like this has since been discontinued. But while the show was still on air, you could email that email address.
No.
And you'd get an automated response. And the response said, "Greetings, students and well-wishers. I will be out of the office until Friday, attending a seminar on male enhancement at Bob Jones University. Until then..."
Ian Brennan.
This is the best part. "Until then, I will not be checking emails because I do not understand how computers seem alive but aren't. Sincerely, Principal Figgins McKinley High School, Where Wings Take Dream."
Where Winks Take Dream?
Instead of like Where Dreams Take Wing.
Oh, Where Wings Take Dream. I love that. Dude, Principal Figgins is the best.
This episode is the second time in the entire series that Sue appears in something other than a tracksuit.
Okay.
Or like a modified tracksuit.
Sure, 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 sure.
I believe the first time is the Zoot Suit with Rod Remington, right?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense.
When they go swinging.
Swinging.
This is the... this is the last episode where Terry is counted as a main character, but truly she hasn't been a main character since sectional season one. But Jesslyn Gilsig was still credited as a main character until this episode.
Hopefully she was like getting paid.
I think she was. It's also funny because if you watch promos for season two, they like there's a promo of season two that Fox put out that it's like all the, it's like the Glee main characters in like a white room with balloons, and it will show it's like Will and Sue
and Terry's in it.
Like Finchel, the Unholy Trinity, and Terry, and you're like, she's only in like six episodes of the whole season. I mean, get that bag, Jesslyn Gilsig.
Honestly, I'd cash a check for not much. What I mean, like, do you know what I mean? As long as I'm getting paid.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
As long as I'm getting paid.
Yeah. Then, like, who cares?
Who cares?
It is a shame, though. She's so talented.
I know. I love her.
This is... everyone, grab your tissues, grab your Kleenex. You may want to sit down for this one.
No!
This is Howard Bamboo's only appearance in season two, and it is his last appearance until season six.
Should we get Panda Express today in his honor?
Honestly, I still got a Panda Express gift card. I wouldn't be against it.
You used it in our production of Daddy Long Legs, I remember.
Oh, it's what I pretended was my credit card. That's right. Because I was afraid, since it was a Zoom production, that people, if I used my real credit card, they would steal my...
Well, yeah, I think that was smart. They would
steal my credit card number, yeah.
You probably shouldn't use your like real credit card for any sort of prop anytime.
Zaddy Bamboo...
Daddy Bamboo.
Sleep well, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. You were too good to the show.
Too good.
Too good for the show, as was Terry. They both get Mercy killed in this episode.
Dude.
Very sad.
Is this Terry's last episode?
No, Terry comes back, but I think she only comes back three more times, and each time she comes back, it's for, like, a scene. Like, this is her last episode where she has, like, an arc.
Yeah.
I
love you, Terry!
Speaking of characters bidding farewell, this is truly, like, the episode of Swan Songs. This is Gene's last episode. It's the last time that Robin Trockey is on this show is Gene Sylvester. This episode is the episode that Jane Lynch sent in for her Emmy bid, and she was nominated, good for her. She did not win, though, sadly, but she did win the year before.
I feel like this episode makes sense.
No, it's a good one.
Yeah.
And she does legitimately have funny stuff in this episode.
Yeah, definitely.
But also, it was another one of those episodes where I was like, Jane Lynch is far too talented to be on this show.
Definitely. Like, definitely.
She is, like, running circles around the rest of this cast.
Honestly, and they make her say something, and I was like, gosh, dang. She is too good for this show.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're doing this to her.
Some errors in this episode, and by some I mean exactly only one error.
Okay.
There's other errors too, but they all were so uninteresting I didn't include them.
I know. I never include the errors because it's
when it's like Rachel brushes her hair over her shoulder. And then in the next shot, it's not brush over her shoulder. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. This one is interesting though, because it's like a plot point in the episode. Emma and Will are going through Will's vests and she's like, should we throw out this one? And he's like, that's the vest I was wearing when I first met you. And it's like a tender memory. Next season, which this is just a testament to how little these writers care about the continuity of their own show. Like, next season. So 1 year later, they do an episode where there's a flashback of their first meeting. He's not wearing that vest. Like, how hard would that have been?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding?
They truly, there's no show Bible. They do not keep tabs on anything in this show. They are just doing it as they go, figuring it out along the way.
I hate this show. Who said that?
That once again was my roommate sneaking through. Shut up! You're not on this podcast. All right.
But you are on his podcast.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
You're
speaking
welcome.
I am on my roommate's podcast. Okay, so my roommate, Trey, has a podcast called Mistletoe Secret. I talked about it a few months ago when I was on it the first time. It is hosted by him and his friend, Daniel Kunkel. They are watching every Christmas movie that Hallmark has ever made. And they talk about each movie and then they try and figure out how they are all in the same cinematic universe and find connections. Mm-hmm. I was on their episode that came out in March about a movie called Annie Claus is Coming to Town. Mm-hmm. And then I was on their episode that I believe dropped yesterday, which is just Daniel giving Trey and myself BuzzFeed Christmas quizzes and then giving us scores based on how we answered and declaring a winner at the end.
Dude,
it was a lot of fun. It's a great time. Go check it out. Mistletoe Secrets on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Holler back.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
You're welcome. I care about you and your projects.
Thank you. Back to my final glack. In the promo for this episode, so in this episode at the very end, Finn talks to Quinn and he's like, oh, thank you. And she's like, for what? And he says, I know you're hurting right now. I'm glad. I just wanted to thank you for not quitting Glee Club. Mm-hmm. Originally, there was a scene in the episode where Quinn told Finn that they both had to quit Glee Club. And that episode was in the promo for this episode. I mean, that scene was in the promo for this episode. So if you watch the promo for Funeral, you see Quinn and she's talking to Finn and she's like, we both have to quit. And then the scene got cut and it never showed up in the actual episode.
Oof.
And those are your glacks.
Thanks for the glack.
You're welcome for the glack. Now you have a breakup.
Was that your Patti LuPone impression?
That was not my Patti LuPone. However,
it's better than your Patti LuPone impression, I'll tell you that.
Thank you. However, last night, so Lena and I are in Tech Week, which is the wonderful time during the rehearsal process of any show where you're starting to add like lights and set and you're doing it on the stage and rehearsals are like three times as long and like 10 times as tedious. Mm-hmm. And so we had tech for ragtime last night. It was 10 hours and we were all losing our minds. And me and someone in the cast were casting Patti LuPone as different characters in Ragtime. And my favorite was Patti LuPone as Edgar, who is the like 10-year-old boy who narrates the show. And so we had like, what's your name? And then the little girl goes, no name. And then Patti goes, that's ridiculous. Everyone has a name.
So that was good.
Thank you. That was Patti LuPone as Edgar in Ragtime singing. What is that song called?
I don't know.
You think I would know because I'm in the show. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. I'm not in Ragtime.
Who would Patti LuPone play in Comedy of Errors?
Oh, I think she would play Dromio of Ephesus.
I was hoping it would be a Dromio.
Because Dromio of Syracuse is like, he's the lover one. He's like way more kind, like way like chiller, has got a way better relationship with his Dromio. But Dromio of Ephesus is a turd. He's so rude. You'd be like, I can't do a Patti LuPone impression.
Honestly, neither can I.
But, you know, it's like, I can't get into my house. My wife is a strumpet, you know.
For those of you waiting on pins and needles, the name of that song was Nothing Like the City from Ragtime. Oh, there lands. We go.
Dude, I was waiting with bated breath. Are you ready for the recap?
I was born ready.
What are the songs in this episode? Oh, my recap, I love him so. He'll never know. Oh, my recap is so despair. But I don't recap.
Also, the way that you are only like 25% committing to singing these songs makes it so much funnier.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Here's what you missed on Glee. Will hires Jesse St. James as the New Directions' new show choir consultant and holds audition for anyone who wants to audition for the solo at Nationals. And they all fucking kill it, obviously. Sue's sister Jean tragically passes, causing Sue to bring in your favorites and mine, Howard and Terry, to reroute the New Directions flight to Libya. Kurt and Finn reach out to help Sue plan Jean's Willy Wonka-themed funeral. Finn breaks up with Quinn, and Will announces to the club that they are doing original songs for some reason again at Nationals. And that's what you missed on Glee!
They are doing original songs again for some reason. Was my exact thought process.
No, I was like, because it was so successful the last time.
I was like, man, Jesse, getting Finn is right. Jesse is truly trying to sabotage the club. Literally. If he told Will they should keep doing original songs.
Oh, I doubt it.
Yeah, well, Will says, he's like, I talked to our new consultant and he agrees that we should keep our secret weapon of doing original songs.
Oof, yeah. Saboteur. Saboteur.
You know, once a winter soldier, always a winter soldier.
Honestly.
Jesse St. James is trying to eat the club from the inside. You know what I love about the other characters' interactions with Jesse is the way that Finn rarely ever refers to him as Jesse. It is always that Jesse kid or that Jesse guy.
You know, like, I don't think I've ever noticed that.
He like cannot stand to actually refer to him by just his name. He's like, that Jesse kid's getting on my nerves. I love it.
Dude. I wish people referred to me like that. That Lena kid's girl? Getting on my nerves.
That Lena kid's pissing me off.
I wish.
That Lena kid didn't do a Patti LuPone impression. Mad about it.
I don't have one.
I don't have one.
Yes, you do. That's the thing, is you have one and you also don't have one that's actually one. Okay. I have a Bernadette Peters.
Do it. Do Bernadette as Dromio of Ephesus.
I can't do it. I'm too shy.
You're fine.
Hey, that's how I get into it, though. It's like, oh, moan.
100%. You do a Cupid doll face and you go, I get it.
I got a chwim.
I feel bad because I feel like since we got these jobs, this podcast has become much more like theater kid circle jerk.
What did you just call? Don't repeat it.
What's a more family friendly way to say that? It's come very theater kid self indulgent, I guess you could say. So to all
are
of
you
our...
gonna bleep that out? don't.
Nah,
I'm kidding.
Nah. To all of our listeners who you know love Glee but are not theater people, I'm so sorry. We are just throwing out Bernadette Peters and Patti LuPone like they're household names,
aren't they?
For theater people, yes, but like. A normie? No.
Yeah, they're also on like television shows.
Yeah, Patti LuPone is on Glee, didn't you hear?
Yeah, also wait Patti LuPone is on Hollywood, another Ryan Murphy television show.
Oh yeah, she and Ryan Murphy are like, very good friends.
Makes sense. I feel like they have, so sorry Patti LuPone, similar vibes.
Oh, they got very similar energy.
Similar vibes.
Very similar
sorry,
energy.
Sorry Patti LuPone.
No disrespect. What did you think of Funeral?
Oh, I wanted to ask you this first.
Okay.
I'm of two minds of this episode. Like, half of the episode I really love. Half of the episode is the worst parts of Glee to me. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, like, it really runs the gambit because I feel like I love the stuff with the kids. The stuff with Gene really breaks my heart in a not fun way. And it's just the worst parts of Glee to me. Yeah. And also the ending on doing original songs for Nationals is so bonkers bananas crazy. What do you think?
Completely agree with that last thought. Where, how, what, why? Why did these writers think original songs was a good idea?
Probably
why are they doubling down?
Loser Like Me rocked. Like,
that's
no
true.
Joke.
And it
that
like
song
also
is awesome.
Sold very well.
Yeah. And I understand like seeing that and wanting to carry on that tradition or something. Mm-hmm. But
didn't they listen to Get It Right? Come on.
You can't get it
They didn't get it right.
They mean every word. Come on.
I really liked this episode, which
really?
Was surprising to me because we had been talking about it and we were both like, ugh, funerals next. Like, neither of us were excited.
You like all of this episode?
Yes. And we'll
And
we'll talk about it when we get there. I may have been emotionally manipulated, but I really, I mean, I didn't obviously like it's Glee. So like, obviously there's still stuff that I'm like, no. One of the big glaring things being that they want to do original songs. But overall, I had a great time. Okay. I loved all the performances.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
It is Howard Bamboo's last episode.
And he's not given enough to do.
No.
He does have the funny exchange where she calls him Panda Express and he says, I'm not Chinese. And she says, neither is the food at Panda Express.
I hear that. Okay, well, let's get into it. How do you want to split it up? Do you want to do... There's really like two plots in this episode.
Yes.
So we can either stream of consciousness this or we can pick one and then do the next...
I think we should do a Sujin, if you will, and then a New Directions. I don't know in what order,
A Sylvester
though.
Shuffle.
Yeah, we should do a Sylvester Shuffle.
And then Directions.
And then a Nude Erections.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which one to do first, though.
The problems I have with this episode are the Sujin stuff.
Yes.
So should we do that first?
Great, let's do that first.
Okay. So tell me your thoughts on this episode. Tell me your thoughts on this plot line.
Okay. I think that Jane Lynch does a very good job in this episode. I think it's one of those things where like most of it is riding on her back as an actor and that it easily could have been terrible if someone else had it, but she makes it very believable.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I think it got emotionally manipulated by this. I went through a very similar thing that Sue goes through in this episode a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister is still living, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But she did have like a near-death experience and like will never be the same person that she was before. And so like in a way I did kind of like lose my sister.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think I like didn't really have much of a problem with it. And that's not, hear me out.
No, I hear that.
This is not me saying, because like this is also the beautiful thing about like art and media is that different people take different stuff away from it. So it isn't like, because this plot line really spoke to me personally, like it's objectively good. Like 100%, there's probably a lot of really bad stuff about this plot line that I didn't notice. And also, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable criticizing it because like I really related to it. But just like me personally, it really struck a chord with me. Like during Imagination, I was like violently sobbing.
Really?
So I liked it.
No, I hear that.
Really want to hear the stuff that you did not like about it.
Totally. I think what I didn't like about it is just that it happened in general. And what I mean by that is you and I have talked about Gene specifically, or we can't tell if the show is really exploiting her or not.
Yes.
And this feels like the peak of her being exploited. Like we had this beautiful, amazing character who humanized our villain in a way that honestly I was cool with. Like I really loved Sue's relationship with Gene. I really liked seeing it. I like how that bleeds into her relationship with Becky and her relationship with Kurt, that she like sees like glimpses of Gene in these people and is very like loving and kind to them and like has a soft spot for them. That's something that I've like been trying to grapple with this show for a long time, but this is like okay, Jean was just a plot point.
Yes.
Jean was just a plot point to, like, you know, make sure that Sue is out of the way for nationals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, Sue has been trying all year to get these kids to not go to nationals. To, you know, her dismay, they are going to nationals. And this was her last ditch effort. And then, you know, Sue, Jean tragically passes. And then it softens her heart enough for her to let them go to nationals.
Yes.
So that is what bothers me. Not truly anything that happens. Like, I really like Sue's, like, coping with anger and frustration and, like, being extra mean. And that makes a lot of sense for her character. I think Jane Lynch does a great job. All of that is good. It just bothers me, I think, as a consumer of media that, like, Jean didn't even get her dues on this show. She, I really liked her on this show, but was used as Sue's plot device. And I just, that doesn't sit super well with me. Mm-hmm. But, like, I do, but so that's what bothers me about it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
And that's just something that Glee does all the time.
Yes.
Glee does that show all the time. Yeah. You know, where it's like Emma's OCD is classic Will's plot device. Mm-hmm. When it's, and like, you know, so that's just a problem I have with this show.
Yeah, no, you're so right about, like, this is Glee doing Glee. It is like laryngitis, where it's like,
exactly.
Finn. Will Jr. has this friend who is paralyzed, mm-hmm. and it is just so that Rachel can learn something. Exactly. And we also had that a few weeks ago, too. What was that about? Where we had mentioned, that, like, Sam's homelessness is about Rachel learning something. You are so correct. That it is like, Jean is just to humanize Sue, and Jean's death is explicitly to give Sue a heel turn so that
New Directions can go to New York.
Yeah, no, and I totally agree with all of that.
And that bothers me. Other than that, I like it. If that makes sense. But it does sour nearly the whole thing, mm-hmm. for me. So I have a tough time. And, I can't relate to it like you can. So, like, that I can't, like, find – even the moments that were touching to me, I was still like, this feels bad, you know?
Yeah.
So I get how we have different perspectives on it. But, yeah, just feel weird about it.
Yes.
But also, I totally get where you're coming mm-hmm. from as well.
Things I do really like in this plot line are – and I hate to say it. I mean, first, I don't hate to say this. I love seeing, like, Finn and Kurt coming to Sue's aid, where they, like, they get it. And so, and everyone else is like, Miss Sylvester is, like, so awful to us. But Kurt and Finn are both like, no, like, we know what it's like to lose a family member. Like, no one deserves to go through this. And then this is what I hate to say. I also think Will is really great to Sue in this episode. Like, I just think he's really nice about how he, like, comes. He just, like, lets her know, like, hey, I'm so sorry if you need anything. Also, like, of course, I'm sure Will loved how it made him look like the Sue savior when he up and read her eulogy. But I did think that was very sweet.
I think so as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before. When this episode isn't something that I remembered, but I remember lots of parts of it. That's just how I feel about season two in general. Like, a lot of parts, like, really stick out to me, not so much like the episode as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that moment where Sue got up, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot. And we've talked about, like, I don't think close family members should speak at funerals.
Yeah.
So I was really glad that Will got up and like, helped her.
Yeah. And it is
sad.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think close family members should speak at funerals. I just, it's always, like, so difficult.
Yeah, like, it's just talk. Like,
I'm like, give them a,
it's
some
like
space.
Emotionally taxing. Like, how are they going
to
pull through?
And
it?
It's like, you got to plan your speech when you, mm-hmm. and you also have to plan the funeral. Like, just take a minute, please.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I was literally thinking about that same conversation we had when Sue got up, and I was like, man, I don't
know.
This is a lot to put on someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think that moment is very, and it's nice because we get to see what Sue would have said for Jean, but then also, like, there's the two sides of the coin where it's like, realistically, if Sue were to give that eulogy, she would be absolutely sobbing her eyes out, which, like, as an audience, it's like, no, I get this is realistic, but also, like, what are you saying here?
Yeah.
And then if Sue was, like, calm and collected and gave the speech, it would be, like, a little weird for her character.
Yeah, totally.
So I do think it was a very smart move that it's, like, Will gives it, so we don't have that question of like how much should she be crying.
Yeah.
But we still get to hear like a very vulnerable Sue's inner thoughts that like we would never hear otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know what is very funny about this plotline to me?
What?
Is how they just 100% extreme home makeover this funeral. They hear one fact about Jean and they're like, this fact is her personality.
It is so extreme.
Seriously, it's like when they're talking to the family and the little boy's like, they're like, what do you do in your free time? And he's like, I don't know, I guess I like to play with Legos. And then they're like, your whole effing room is made of Legos. You eat Legos for breakfast every morning now. And he's like, that's just like one thing I like to do.
I know.
Like really, Sue... And it's not even, Sue wasn't even like, she loved Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They're just going through her stuff and they find it. And they're like, what's this? And she's like, oh, it was her favorite movie. And they're like, we're going to need a chocolate fountain.
She watches it three times a week.
That's true. But they had like candy mushrooms around the coffin.
Yeah.
Like, I understand singing pure imagination 100%. But the fact that the entire funeral was decorated as Willy Wonka,
yeah,
and it was like Sue just said in passing that that was her favorite movie. Yeah. Like she also loved Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Yeah.
She would read it to her every night. Uh-huh. Why weren't you serving porridge at this funeral? Come on, you guys.
Maybe they did. We didn't see the luncheon.
That's true. Mm. They were like, the service is Willy Wonka. The luncheon is Goldilocks.
Gosh, you know what
the
I love?
The two pillars of Jean's personality.
You know what I love about LDS, like funeral luncheons?
What?
Funeral potatoes.
The best.
I dream of them.
The best.
For people who don't know what that is, because I was at rehearsal the other day and we were talking about funeral potatoes and a few people were like, what is that? It's like essentially like a casserole dish of like cheesy potato creamy goodness. And the idea is that it's so comforting that it like can only be served at weddings.
funerals.
opposite. Sorry. But oh my gosh.
Funeral potatoes.
So good.
The best.
I haven't had those in a while.
I mean, lucky you.
I guess. We also usually, I feel like, have them at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, I've had them plenty of times that weren't funerals. Yeah. And yet they are always called funeral potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. Mormon foods. So funny.
Another moment in this that made me laugh, but this was like I was supposed to laugh, is when Kurt is trying to comfort Sue and goes, when someone dies, it hurts. And Sue goes, very astute, Porcelain. That's a nugget of wisdom I really ought to jot down.
Sue says a lot of funny things. Where she says, I'm lactating with rage.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible.
Inspired.
Mm-hmm. Now, I really love the characterization of Sue in this episode. Yeah. I think they handle like Sue's vulnerable side and her emotions very wisely.
Okay.
Where it is that she, when she feels strong emotions, she shuts them down. It's
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's not like Sue showed up to work and was crying in front of everyone.
No.
It was, which I mean, like, this is coming from someone who processes their emotions like Sue, that it is very much she just becomes much more stoic and much more closed off to people.
Yeah. One of my favorite moments is with her and Will in the lunchroom, and she's like, nope. Like, that's reality. Okay, bye.
And she says it so matter-of-factly, too. She's like, well, you know my sister? She passed away last night. She's not like, my sister died. Which, like, is how some people would handle it.
That's how I handle it, yeah.
But, like, for Sue as a character, I think they are very true to who she is. That she is hurting so much on the inside, and yet she would just say, like, my sister died last night.
Yeah.
I just think, and then, like, that's what makes the eulogy so powerful.
Yeah.
Is it is the first time that we have actually seen Sue grieve.
Yeah.
That in that moment, it is too much for her and she starts crying and then she like cannot do anything and Will has to take over.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I also like her calling Finn and Kurt Herman and Eddie Munster.
The Munsters. So funny. So funny. How did you feel about Becky in this episode?
I liked the Becky stuff. I thought it was, I liked it. I thought, I don't know. I thought it was good. I do think that Becky is a character that is used to humanize Sue, but I think she gets much more of her own stuff than Absolutely. Jean ever did.
Totally.
Like, and especially moving forward, I think they do a lot of stuff with Becky where she very much becomes her own character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the Becky stuff. What about you?
I have one very glaring problem with this episode and Becky.
What is it?
When Becky asks to join the New Directions, mm-hmm. Will's excuse for not letting her join is that they're a week away from Nationals. And I think that's a valid excuse in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. Like, you know, they still have, they have like plane tickets, like taken care of. They have this, they have that, like they have hotels. All of that is done. But Will could have let her in if he, like, he hadn't even, like, auditions for the solo at Nationals were actively happening and they haven't done anything. They could have easily added Becky in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I felt a little funny about that. I was like, they could have let her in, you know, like, and especially if like Becky's mom could have like gotten her to Nationals or just like let her in the club, let her come to rehearsal and just like, you know, I don't know. I felt funny about that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I understand that they can't get her to New York.
Yeah, totally. But New York, I feel like I was a part of so many clubs in high school that were like, okay, there's this field trip that's happening. You don't have to go. You can still be in the club, you yeah. know?
But like you were saying, if it was like, hey, I'm so sorry to say this, but we are a week out. If you can foot the bill yourself, she can come.
Yeah.
Or if it was like you were saying, where it's like, she can be in the club. She's not going to Nationals with us.
Yeah.
But she can like attend rehearsals and be a part of it for the rest of the year. I do 100% get that.
Makes me sad.
I did also, someone commented on Glee Wiki about this, that they were like, Will tells Becky can't add her into the club because they're a week out from competition. And yet, there are multiple occasions where someone gets added into the club the day of competition.
Exactly. Like Lauren.
Like Lauren.
Yeah.
Which, like, in fairness.
Great thought, whoever commented on the sacred text.
In fairness, like, those were competitions where they were taking a bus.
Totally. And oh, so, like, I hear that.
Yeah,
I hear
they
that.
Weren't
yeah.
paying for plane tickets.
The plane, the hotel, that yeah. like, the logistics of that all make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. But Will also is very much like, we don't like, have time to work you in. And
like, it's like, join next year, I guess.
You do it every time.
Yeah.
Every competition, they raise the stakes by having someone quit. And then they, like, sectional season one, Jacob and Israel gets thrown in. This one, Lauren gets thrown in. There's a future one where, like, one of the band mm-hmm. members has to join. Like, it happens constantly.
Yeah, honestly. Oh, my gosh.
What did you think of Pure Imagination?
I thought it was really sweet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love the idea that Sue is so nervous that, you know, because her and Jean's life is so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they don't have a family, they just have each other. Like, Sue doesn't have friends, and to her knowledge, Jean doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
And then having that moment with, like, no, like, Jean's touched so many lives. Like, Jean loves the people who live in her home, like everyone, like, you know, all of that. And then having the New Directions get up and perform was super sweet to me. I like that it's Tina performing
I
as well.
Love that it's
love
Tina.
Love me some Tina. Run the jingle now, because they, when's the next time Tina's going to get to sing? Who knows?
Tina, they did you so wrong. Tina, Cohen Chang.
Yeah, also they did Tina so wrong by not having her be one of the people who auditions
oh
to lead
God,
at Nationals.
Oh my God, great thought. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, there's no way on earth Tina wouldn't at least audition.
I know, that seems very contrary to her character. Yeah. She would want to audition to be the lead at Nationals.
I can totally put myself in Ryan Murphy's shoes and be like, well, Tina's not going to audition because what song would she sing? Because this is all like, you know, the songs they sing like are all like songs from like genres they all yeah. do very successfully. Yes. And Tina hasn't done enough mm-hmm. to like have like a niche yet.
Yeah.
And yeah. But I can see Ryan Murphy being like, well, let's not have Tina audition. Let's just have her take the lead on Pure Imagination. Yes. So thank goodness she's singing, but also at what cost?
She does sound very good on this song though. Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful. I love that Tina Cohen Chang.
My one last thought about the Sue plot is Finn tells all the new directions, like we already talked about, that like they should help Miss Sylvester, and they're like, why, she's terrible. And he's like, well, we should help her for Jean. Jean was like us. She was an outsider. She was an underdog. Last week, half of the prom court nominees were Glee kids.
I'm over that.
Literally
over that.
5 of the 10 were in this club, and they still are like, nobody gets us at this school. We're such outsiders.
It's like Finn is the quarterback, and they're on the basketball team, and all of them were nominated for prom, and they all performed. They perform at like every assembly ever, which, you know, is every high schooler's dream to perform at an assembly. It is. You're lying to yourself if it's not.
Well, for me, yes. I don't know if I would say for everyone.
No, I'm going to say it here and now. It's everyone's dream to be like, you know, like publicly recognized, like
to have your like Ferris Bueller moment where you're on like the float singing. Do you have more Sue thoughts?
I don't think so.
We do. We might as well. Do you have any more Terry thoughts before we say goodbye to her for a long time?
Terry. Yeah. I'm glad that she got some sort of like, you know, closure is such a weird thing to me. I have complicated feelings about closure as a person, but I do like that Terry gets some sort of closure with Will, at least from an audience perspective. I think it's a nice moment. I also like to see that that Will was like, it was just the wrong time. And she's like, yeah, totally. Like, she's like agreeing, but also like there's that part of her that's like still like, you know, not fully like ready to admit that. I like that Terry was like, you know what? I'm going to send these kids to nationals. I'm not doing whatever Sue is doing. So I was happy to hear that.
Yeah.
And I was happy to like have like see her have like that hero moment, because I just think Terry's so great, and I'm so sad the show didn't use her very well.
I said it during the Glax, this was a mercy kill.
Honestly, get her out of here.
They have not known what to do with Terry since Funk, and this season has honestly been like pretty hard to watch with what they've done with Terry, because it is so much. You can just feel the writers being like, well, Jocelyn Gilsig is still on the payroll. We have to do something with her. And we have talked at length about different plot lines they could have done that would be so interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, they didn't do anything like that. They truly just had Terry tread water for 22 episodes and like pop in for an episode to be like, hey, well, I'm still in love with you anyway. See you in 5 weeks.
Anyway, bye.
I am glad, like you said, I am glad to see her end on an upswing and to have her be like, I'm moving on, like I'm going somewhere else. And she helps the club to as just kind of like an overall apology for all the terrible things she's done. But truly, it is very hard to say, but she has not belonged on this show for a while.
Yeah.
And it is like a relief to see her leave.
It's so true. And like what you said the other day, I think makes a lot of sense. Like Glee season 1 versus Glee season 2 are two separate shows.
Yes.
And the show that Terry and Howard were on, it's not the show that it is now. And like, not even to say, I really like Glee season 2. Like, I've really enjoyed this season a lot. Not even to say that I think one is better than the other. They're just so different.
Yes.
You know? Like, taste-wise, I'm sure. Like, you really like season 1. I love season 1, too. But I love season 2. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to compare them, but because they're so different.
Yeah. No, just watching her that last scene when she, like, tells him she's moving to Miami, which I remember there is a city called Miami, Ohio. And is it Ohio? Yeah. Hold up. Let me make sure that... Oh, there's not a city called Miami. There's a place called Miami University in Ohio.
Oh.
So there was like a fan theory that she was actually just going to Miami University.
Oh, that's funny.
And that she would be back. But that, spoiler alert, doesn't happen.
Oof.
But just that scene when she's like telling Will that she's going to Miami, I was watching it and I was like, Jocelyn Gilsig just feels wrong in this scene.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
Her performance, but it feels like a crossover episode.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Like, it feels like she's from a different TV show.
Yeah.
And this is like, look at this character from this TV show enter the world of Glee. But it's like, no, she used to be on Glee all the time. Like you were saying, is just the show has left her behind and she does not match what the show has become. Terry. I can't wait to see the X-Files with you, Howard, and Kendra.
Oh my gosh.
Let's make it happen. So,
let's start some sort of GoFundMe to get that done.
Weirdly, Howard does not feel out of place, and I think they could have kept using Howard.
I know.
But sadly, he's so tied in with Terry that they just
his sheets and things uniform?
I think he is.
Oh, I love him.
They just like could not think of a Howard plotline without Terry being present.
I love Howard Bamboo so much. I just think he is such a funny character in this show, because I think he embodies like a sweetness that no one has on this show, like a kindness and a helpfulness and like a shyness that no one has on this show. And I think that's why he kind of fits, because he is the polar opposite to literally every person. I love him so much. Howard.
The way that he is just like so accepting of like the things that happened to him. That's just like awful stuff happened to him. And he's like, what is the thing he says about Sandy Ryerson where like he gave him lupus or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And Terry's like, well, Howard, he's our best customer. And he's like, okay. Yeah. And Gus could talk to him. Like, you're so correct. He fits so well because all of these characters are so type A and so overbearing
and
that
evil.
Like Howard is the perfect foil to all of them.
Mm-hmm. Just he's like the most type B.
Yeah, just like so subservient, will roll over and do whatever you want him to do. And you can tell that he's like, oh, I really don't want to be doing this, but like they told me to. What else can I do?
Yeah, like I don't know Principal Figgins' password. Sorry. Funny.
I love Howard so much. All right. Well,
gosh, it feels like the last day of school to me that I'm like, I'm never going to see my buddy Howard ever again.
Terry and Howard, man, hags. What can I say?
Hags, man. I remember growing up, I used to get viscerally offended when people would write hags in yearbooks. And it was always like young boys who would do it. And I would be like, just don't sign my yearbook if you're going to do that. Did you do that?
No, I was going to say, I had the exact same perspective. Like, don't take up space if you're going to write hags.
And it's always like some like 14-year-old boy who like takes up a whole page just like writing hags in their name. And I'm like, get out of here. I don't even know you.
I maybe talked about this during Mattress. I frequently have many anxiety attacks about things I wrote in people's yearbooks.
Really?
That they come to my memory and I'm like, that is so embarrassing that I wrote that. And it's there forever. Because like, my dad still has his high school yearbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, people tend to keep those for the rest of their lives. And those like very weird and embarrassing things I wrote are there eternally.
Forever.
Yeah. I would just like to go on the record and say, I didn't like write things that were offensive.
No.
It was more that I would get, I truly, this might just be me saying exactly what I said during Mattress, so if it is, I'm sorry. I would get very in my feels about how, like, the finality of it all.
Sure, yeah.
And I would be like, this is, like, my parting message to this person.
Absolutely.
And I would write things that were, like, far too personal for what our relationship actually was. Uh-huh. I would write as if we were, like, the closest friends ever, and then it would be like, we had biology together 1 year.
I did the same thing. I'd be like, you changed my life for good. And it's like, hold on, Glinda, relax.
I would write like, you were like an older brother or like an older sister to me. And it was like, they were an upperclassman who was like nice to you twice. Like, yeah, let's literally chill out.
I would do the same thing. Yeah. I feel like I look back at my like mom's yearbook and I remember like everyone is just like so nice and cool and then has like the most beautiful handwriting. So I'd spend like, you know, hours perfecting my signature. That's still something I do. And like I'd like pick out the perfect pen and it was always like a pink Sharpie or something. Oh my gosh.
It was always so embarrassing to me when I would write truly like two or three paragraphs in someone's yearbook.
And just, they wrote nothing for you.
And they would be like,
yeah, that happened to me all the time.
Ian, you're so funny. Have fun in college. Love so-and-so. Ooh, and I was like,
the worst story?
I have never been so embarrassed in my entire life.
I know, literally. I remember one time, I think this was the year that I went to New York the day of, like, my like last day of ninth
yes.
grade.
Yeah.
I've told you this story and it was like embarrassing. But so I didn't like look at my yearbook for like weeks afterwards. This is really embarrassing. And I think about it in the middle of the night all the time. There was a person who told me that they had a crush on me in my ninth grade yearbook. And I didn't see it for many weeks. And I don't even think I saw it like for a couple months after that. I just like didn't go through it. And I was, and I never said anything to them ever, ever. And to this day, like I follow them like on Instagram and I'll, every time their stuff comes up, I'm like, oh God. And I think of like how it probably like took a lot of courage for them to do that. And I totally just like left him in the dust. Can you believe I'm a sociopath?
Hold up. Oh, I have a Charlie horse.
I'm sorry.
It came out of nowhere, too. Ah! I'm telling you, my legs are trying to get me killed.
Dude.
Okay. I was on the opposite end of that exact experience.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
I had this friend. And I mean, I never, I didn't write explicitly in her yearbook. I wasn't like, I have feelings for you. But I filled two entire pages and you
two?
See my handwriting. My handwriting is not big.
Yeah, your handwriting is small.
I filled, and honestly, I was writing smaller than normal and I filled two entire pages. And
you are a monster.
And whoa, it was like very, that's one of the ones that haunts me. That
yeah,
I'm like,
totally.
She has that. And it is two pages of me like really just outing myself about a lot of stuff. And she was like also weirdly going to New York.
Oh, wait, how are we in this?
Was it you? Anyways.
Oof.
Let's talk about the new directions.
Shall we? Okay. Let's talk about Jesse Jane James. Jesse Jane sucks.
That Jesse kid.
Okay, wait. Before we start, it is so bonkers bananas crazy to me. This club's obsession with winning nationals, a thing they didn't even qualify for last year.
Mm-hmm. Like, you already won.
Yeah.
You've already advanced.
Exactly. Like, I would be so excited just to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their obsession with taking this entire thing, like, it is so random to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It really is weird. And I don't understand it. And maybe that just comes from my, like, super not competitive nature, but I just like don't like they should just be, especially Will. I understand the club really wanting to win, like the kids in the club, but Will being like, well, we gotta win, we're gonna win nationals this year, aren't we, kids?
I was thinking,
like,
that
relax,
same thing,
dude. You didn't even qualify last year.
It was very clear that they had to win regionals or the club was canceled.
Yes.
And so I was like, Will, I 100% back you on this.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You guys need to win.
Yeah.
There are, obviously winning would be fun, but
the
there's
stakes
no
are
stakes
their egos.
In it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why is Will straight up hyping these kids up to like nationals is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They likely are not going to win. Why is he setting them up to hate themselves?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's like, you guys, I'm only going to keep loving you if you win.
Yeah.
Like, you only have value as a person if we get first place at nationals.
Also, when did he decide he was doing April's show? Because I don't remember that at all.
They were
packing his shit. And I was like, what on earth? That happened last week?
No, I said that happened off screen.
Oh, okay, good.
Like many things in this
show. Because I'm pretty... ditzy sometimes, but I don't feel like I would miss that.
It was that same scene when Brittany and Artie broke up. It was their breakup scene.
Oh,
and
yes.
Also the Sam and Santana breakup scene.
Of course.
It all happened together. It was
of
all
course,
one
of
big
course,
scene.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
This freaking show. You're going to get me invested in these people's lives and then make like
have them make
huge decisions off screen.
Enormous character arc changing decisions and then just reference it.
Absolute heel turning things happening.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Oh my gosh.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
My issue with the whole New Directions plot is that this whole Like, the whole point of this plot is that we are supposed to be like, Jesse is ruining this club. He's making it a toxic environment. Will's way is much healthier. And I do agree with the fact that, like, the feedback that Jesse was giving people after their auditions was terrible. But let's look at their methods beyond, like, the comments that Jesse made. Mm-hmm. Jesse's manner, like, Jesse's way is, we have a solo. I'm going to open it up for auditions for anyone who wants to audition, mm-hmm. and then we will pick who we think is the best fit.
I feel like that's super normal.
Will's version is, I have a solo. I'm going to pick whoever I want. I will get no feedback from the club, and it's going to be Rachel and Finn.
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Like, and Will has this conversation with Jesse when they're deliberating, where Will is like, I can't pick one of these kids to have the solo. It feels like telling one of my kids I love them more than the other ones in front of all the other kids.
It's like, you do that weekly, mother trucker.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, Finn Senior, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing when you give Rachel the solo every week? That's what you're doing. Frankly, this would hurt less. It would still hurt, but it would hurt less that you were like, well, at least they gave me a shot. And I'm still pissed that they didn't choose me, but, like, at least I felt like I could fight for it. Mm-hmm. Instead of usually where he just walks into the room and he's like, Rachel will be singing this at Nationals. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's so dumb. Also, at the very end, Will has this line where he's like, you know what? We're not going to do auditions. I talk to Jesse because I have final say. And we're not picking a soloist for auditions. We're doing what we did at regionals, which is group numbers featuring the entire club. Will, what regionals did you attend?
Yeah.
Because the only featured soloists at regionals were Finchel.
Yes, exactly.
Rachel got literally not
Rachel got a solo in a song she did not write.
And then she got a whole song, not her singing lead with the choir backing her up, a song to herself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rachel got a full song alone on stage. And then exactly what you said, then got the lead in a song that other people wrote.
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? And then spoiler alert, that is what happens at Nationals, mm-hmm. is he gives most of the solos to Rachel.
Yeah. And I was watching, like, all of their auditions, and I was like, you know what? I understand Rachel performing at Nationals in the context of this club, but, like, in the TV show, it bothers me. Like, Rachel gets a solo every episode. It's happened, what, one time that she didn't have a solo? And it's like, I don't want to watch this show anymore. You know, I don't want to watch the Rachel show. I care about all of these people, you know? And I hate when they lie to us, where it's like, we're going to give other people a chance.
They don't.
And I swear, like, half of the plot lines on the show are Rachel, like, you know, someone being upset that Rachel always gets the lead. And then Will having a come to Jesus where he's like, you know what? You're right. I will give you more chances. And then the next episode, they do the same thing again. It mm-hmm. genuinely bothers me. It's not fun to watch. It's not interesting to me. I don't understand what they, like, see. Like, I don't understand what they see in Rachel that's like, she's the most special person in this club. She's not the most interesting person. She's, like, not the most talented. Like, it bothers me to my core.
Well, and it would be to me, because I do frankly think that My Man is a fantastic performance.
Oh my gosh. And it's face melting. It's incredible.
It would be less offensive to me if Will had been like, we watched all the auditions and Rachel got the solo,
mm-hmm.
then what actually happens, which is Will being
like,
the auditions were unethical, we're going to share the solo, and then gives it to Rachel anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Like, if you were going to do that, just go off the audition, because I do think she had the best audition.
Yes, uh-huh. I hate how they make the auditions seem unethical.
Yeah, like, you're, it's so a bad thing.
Like, and it's also super normal for, like, a club, or even, like, you know, you were in choir, you auditioned for solos all the time.
Yes.
That's normal. Yeah, no,
it was far more upsetting in choir when the choir teacher would just hand out solos it was far more upsetting than when she would be like, is anyone interested in this solo? Mm-hmm. And then she would have us try out.
Yeah.
I don't know why Glee wants to convince us that allowing kids to speak up for themselves and show what they can do is like ethically wrong.
Yeah.
And a teacher just having blatant favoritism and not giving people a shot is like the good option.
And like having them fight for it makes them hate each other.
Yeah. It's dumb. Very dumb.
Yeah. Super dumb. Jesse St. James... Jesse St. sucks.
There, do you want to talk about the auditions?
I'd love to.
Real fast before we get to it, there's a scene where Rachel signs up for the audition, which I did love having another Rachel Berry monologue with the star. But then Finn comes up and she's like, she says, hey, you haven't signed up to be the lead vocalist at Nationals. And then there is a line of dialogue that is so obviously ADR'd in. Like, so obvious they brought Lea Michele into the studio to record it.
Which one?
Like, they show Finn's face so you can't see Rachel's mouth, and the vocal quality is way different. She goes, Santana, Mercedes, and Kurt have. And, like...
Oh, sure.
It's just, like, I heard it and was like... Hey, you haven't signed up to be the lead vocalist at Nationals. Santana, Mercedes, and Kurt have. Like, the whole sound quality was so jarringly different.
I do love that scene. Specifically with, like, you know, Finn has always had a problem with Jesse, but him being like, I've been busting my ass to be a better singer and dancer for 2 years, and all of that is shot. Like his confidence, everything. Like, I've totally been there, you know, where it's like you work so hard for something and you work to be better all the time. And then someone is like, well, you're doing it unsuccessfully. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what the fuck is it all for? I really like that moment with Finn and like Rachel trying to console him and him being like, no, you're New York good. I'm Lima good. Yeah. And the whole idea, I love when the show uses Lima as like a, you know, Lima loser, Lima good, you know, Lima dime a dozen, you know.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's something I really love about Finn's character that we haven't seen for a while, which is that, like, he has, like, we do see that he is, like, the king of campus and he's very popular and all this stuff, but he has this underlying fear of, like, this is the peak of my life.
Yeah, totally.
That, like, he does see in Rachel, he sees that, like, she has true star power and she can go achieve stuff. And he is just so afraid of, like, this is all I'm ever going to amount to. I'm going to be the guy who peaked in high school and was on the football team and now just, like, flips burgers in his hometown.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I love that moment, exactly what you're talking about, where we, like, finally see that side of him again. Mm-hmm. And that also is, like... one of the things that he says to Quinn in the car where she is like, we'll get together and we'll be prom king and prom queen. And he's like, is that all this is about to you? Mm-hmm. That, like, that was his life at the beginning of season one, was he was just like the guy who was on the football team and was popular and was going to be in, who was going to be prom king. And then, like, Glee Club helped him see a different part of life and helped him, like, be passionate about things. And he's so afraid of ending up as that person he was at the beginning of season one.
Totally.
And then when he sees that, like, that is Quinn's dream, that, like, she's trying to revert them back to who they were back then, he's like, I can't do this. This relationship has to end.
Absolutely.
This is a very good Finn episode.
I agree. And I love that aspect of Finn's character, especially in a group of arts people who, like, want for big, huge things. And I see that so much in, you know, so many people I know. Like, just, like, you want for more, but you can't really put your finger on what that is. And you're just afraid of what could be and what is. And I just really love that about Finn so much.
Yeah, and then especially, like, for him to have, like, found the arts and have felt like this is something more in his life and something that, like, really gave him purpose and meaning, and then to have someone like Jesse be like, no, but you're bad at it.
Yeah, totally.
That it just, like, takes all the wind out of his sails and makes him feel like nothing. Do you want to talk about Back to Black?
No. Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll skip it.
No. Back to Black. So good. Mm-hmm. These auditions, like, in general, are... I think it was really smart, but also, you know, it's the end of season. They've got to have these characters have their dues, especially if like Nationals is just going to be a Finchel episode.
Yep.
So I really appreciate that it's like, it is all of these characters at like the shit they do best. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it. And they all do it so successfully and beautifully and lovely. And I love Santana so much.
Yeah. This number was making me emotional.
Was it?
I was getting emotional. I think that it is so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she has such a natural stage presence that like was frankly upsetting to me. That I was how is there a person who is like this charismatic on stage? It made me emotional, one, because I was thinking of Naya Rivera being cast in the show and having one line.
Yep.
And that's it. Yeah. And just like her really fighting to be seen and really just showing what she could do and like how far she has come. And she has this whole number to herself and she's absolutely owning it, doing such a good job. Then on the other end of the spectrum, I was like, and she's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Seeing her A, have come so far, but then also B, seeing her be taken away so early.
Absolutely.
Did not expect to get emotional while watching Back to Black in this episode. But dang.
No, I totally hear that.
A very good number.
Yeah.
I also love at the end. Jesse St. James, you talked about it last episode, is such a good character.
And I
love how he is such a douche and the show is like so aware of the fact that he's a douche. And when we find out that he was trying to play mind games with Santana by looking like he was scribbling notes the whole time, mm-hmm. but he was just drawing a picture of a cat.
Just a cat.
So funny.
Yeah.
I love Jesse so much.
Yeah. It does weird me out that he is out of high school and now still trying to date this girl in high school.
Yeah.
That's a tricky thing to me because like they were dating before, but they're not dating. Mm-hmm. And also he's trying to date her now. It just makes me feel gross.
Oh, you know? No, I get that.
And especially because she's a junior.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Get out of here, Jesse. You're a predator.
Yes, though.
yeah, this Back to Black is it's so beautiful. She's so awesome.
What do you think of Some People?
I love Some People. It is so fun. And I love another Gypsy number. Mm-hmm. The choreography is very good. Like there's this part where he like does a kick and then like puts his foot down and then like does a quick like look over the shoulder. It's like and it mm-hmm. is so good. It's so fun. It's cool to hear that he choreographed it himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fun. I really like this number. It's very fun. And I love Jesse's comment that's like, the song is for a girl. And he's like, we've been over this. I'm not going to learn this lesson again.
Like, which, like, thank goodness the writers acknowledge that because there are plenty of times when they forget and they do the same lesson twice.
It's like, we've done this before. Keep going. It's very funny. So really like, I also really like his outfit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, his outfit in this song is very good.
Very good. It made me like, and I like that he like that. They all, like Mercedes and Santana both wear what they are auditioning in. And then Rachel and Kurt like change into things. And I think that's funny.
Yeah. It like feels those very two are the more
like
theater
kiddie, mm-hmm. like this is their costume, mm-hmm. you know, I think it fits their characters. Yeah. What? Do you hate it? No.
Absolute respect to your opinion. I think this is the weakest one by a mile.
Oh, well, I would say it's the weakest. Doesn't mean it's not awesome.
I don't think
really?
It's really? I do love Kurt doing another Gypsy song. I mean, Kurt Hummel kicked off my Gypsy phase. I heard Rose's Truth? Turn in Laryngitis, and then I listened to nothing but Gypsy for like 2 months after that. I don't think it's a good song in his voice. I think it is like this song is so just like loud. And this is one of my favorite songs in the entire show. I love this song.
Yeah, and
it is so much like I am sick of this life I have led, just like everyone else's lives, I'm going to make something of myself. Some people are fine with like a 9-to-5 job, living life in a living room, like the song says, but that's not the life I'm going to have. I'm going to make something more of my life. And it is like so determined, so loud, so belty, and he head voices the whole song. And I do it like
you do know the show much more than I do. Yeah. So that makes sense that you would have attachments to it and like ideas of what it should be.
I mean, I just like love Ethel Merman singing this song. And I'm like, where's Ethel?
I know you love Merman. I mean, and Jesse says the same thing. He's like, where's Ethel?
Mm-hmm. He's like, where's Bernadette? Ooh.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's weird because Rose's turn has a very similar vibe.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And I feel like with Rose's turn, it landed. Like, I feel like, and like Rose's...
Well, I mean, think about the emotional context of Rose's turn. Exactly.
That's what I think the difference is I think that Chris Colfer is one of the best actors on this show.
Yeah.
And I think Rose's turn... He is so, like, into what Kurt is going through that he, like, really sells it.
He's like, wow, someone tell me what.
Uh-huh, exactly. And then this song, it just felt like he was like, I'm going to sing it pretty. And it's like, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Mama Rose is not a track you sing pretty.
No.
Like, Mama Rose is a very ugly character.
That's an Ethel Merman track.
For real. It's Ethel Merman. She did not sing pretty. But, like, Mama Rose is a very ugly character.
Mm-hmm.
She should not have a pretty singing voice. She should have like an overwhelming singing voice.
Sure.
And also, I do think it's very fun that Chris Colfer choreographed it. I think the choreography very much feels like a high school theater kid doing the theater competition.
He is a high school theater kid in a theater competition.
I know, but Glee is a heightened reality. There's a moment he does the like, I have a dream, and he kneels on the ground and like looks in the sky. And I was gosh, what is this 2010? And me and my friends are coaching each other for the competition that's coming up.
No, it's 2011 and he's auditioning for the competition that's coming up.
But I swear that was like the big thing. And this is me talking about myself. Like, this is not me shading other people. The big thing was like, if I had a monologue, it was always like, I'm going to start it in a chair and I'm going to find out what point I stand up.
Oof,
and then if I had a solo song, it was like, I'm going to find out what point I kneel on the ground.
No.
Like, it's such a like...
You got to get those levels in there.
Exactly. It's such a like unmotivated acting move to be like, if I stand up or if I kneel, it means the song's about something. And it's like, but why would the character do that?
Sure.
Why on earth would they have kneeled right then? And then the way...
So you're projecting.
Yes.
That's what's happening here.
Like we talked about on the minisode, the reason that Glee is so hard for us to watch is that we see so many things about ourselves that we don't like in these characters.
So you saw Kurt in this moment and you were like,
Yeah, and I was like, it's me. No, kill it. And then at the end, he like walks down stage and then like falls onto his back, which is a very fun dance move. Why?
It's so cute.
It all felt incredibly unmotivated.
Sure. No, I hear that.
So I didn't like some people. I'll get off my high horse now.
Okay. Yeah. But I hear you. I hear you and I see you, Ian Allred.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's talk about... Try a little tenderness.
Stop singing. All right.
What's that?
That was a Shrek reference.
Oh!
What are your thoughts?
I love this number. Do you hate this number?
No,
I'm all on edge now that you're going to come for me. That I'm going to hate something and you're going to love it. I'm going to love something. You're going to hate it.
First off, we can always disagree.
We should never.
But also, just spoiler alert, some people's the only one of the auditions I didn't like. So yes, okay. I really, really love Try a Little Tenderness.
Love this one. I love this one so much. And I love this song a lot. I think it like is such a cool, like has such a cool arc to it. It's such a good audition piece for Mercedes. Because it like, it shows like it has like that like floaty beginning and then like the, gets so loud in the end. It's such a fun, and Mercedes does such a great job. And Riley's the best. Stream Riley all the time. And I especially love, like, I'm going to say it, hate me, Will has like a speech to her at the end that was like, you know what? Like, I just remember, I see you and I see how much you've grown and you are so awesome and you like are a better performer every day and I'm so proud of you.
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh. Like, that's what he should have been saying to all of these people, because it like was a nice, I think, teacher moment. Yeah.
Yes.
So love that. What did you think?
I agree with everything you said. I love this number.
Oh my God.
Also, Amber Riley before Glee did not belt. Like, she really? was a trained opera singer.
Yeah, no, totally, yeah.
But like, they talk about this on Showmance, Kevin McHale and Jenna Ushkowitz's podcast, that like, it wasn't like she was a trained opera singer, but like for fun, she would like sing loud and growly. Like, she had never really even tried it before Glee. And then for Glee, they wanted her to sing like that. And she was like, okay, I'll try it. And then like freaking nailed it.
Yeah, literally. It was amazing. Killed it.
Insane.
Yeah.
I completely agree with everything you said about the Will speech. And I mentioned before, I do think that Will has a lot of good moments in this episode. What bothers me about that speech is he says all that thing about like, you've grown so much as a performer. Mm-hmm. I've been so proud to watch you.
Yep.
Thank you for singing that and reminding me where we came from and reminding me that we've made it all the way to Nationals, where once again, you're not going to get a solo and Rachel's going to sing the entire time.
I completely agree.
It's
and
upsetting.
Like, and that's a speech that you say to someone after you're like, you know what, Mercedes, you have put in the work.
Yes.
Sing at Nationals, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about my man? I love him so.
Okay.
He'll never know.
I love Funny Girl. For lots of reasons. Care. This rendition of My Man changed the fabric of who I am as a person. I don't know if you know this. This has been for a very long time since this episode came out. My go-to audition song now.
I did not know that.
I've sang it in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And like, I sing it like anytime I have like something going on that's like, you know, a big belty show that like is like emotional, which is like, you know, the women I audition for are belty and emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like my go-to audition song. I just watched Rachel and I'm like, oh, you mean like I have been making the same choices as Rachel Berry since 2011. And I had a weird moment this morning where I was like, I can never use this audition song. I'm essentially doing a Rachel Berry impression every time I audition with this. And listen, it's gotten me jobs. It got me this job, not this time, but before. This song is incredible. Like, it is one of the most beautiful songs I think ever written. It makes sense that it's Lea Michele's favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
I love this song. Her rendition is beautiful.
Yes.
It is lovely. Like, you can tell Lea Michele grew up watching, Barbara Streisand. That was embarrassing. I know the difference.
Ooh, burn it up for you.
But you can tell, like, she even, like, does, like, kind of like a, like, despair, but I don't care. Like, it's, like, very Barbara Streisand how she does it. Oh, my God. It's so good. Oh, I love this song. Jeez.
Yeah. She can be difficult, but she sure can sing.
Brother! Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, like, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I agree with everything you said. I think it's fabulous. I do think it was the best audition out of the bunch. There is a moment, I do think that Will has a lot of good teacher moments in this episode. I also think he is an absolutely terrible teacher with how he handles Jesse. Mm-hmm. That like, he mm-hmm. just like, Jesse consistently is like bullying these students. And he's like,
Jesse.
Well, don't worry, guys. I have the final say. Yeah. And it's like, but that doesn't change the fact that he just...
And also
tore apart these kids emotionally.
Crushed Finn's dreams.
Yes.
Like in an art setting, I think that stuff happens, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But in high school, you need an advocate to be like, okay, let's not crush each other's dreams right here, right now. Like, that's something I actually have a really big problem with when people are like, well, I'm just preparing you for the real world, just like to be a total jerk, when it's like,
uh-huh.
What are you talking about?
There's an exchange where Jesse and Will are talking, and Will says, "I don't want my kids to feel like they're losers." And Jesse says, "That's a crucial part of the process." And I wrote, "Wow, Jesse, you should really look into a career path in college education as a theater professional." That is a crucial part of the process. Everyone I know who got a theater degree, not saying this is good.
Yeah.
They felt like they were a huge loser and worthless for a large section of it.
I would say for me, definitely a majority of it.
Yeah. But I completely agree with you. One, I don't think that should be happening in college. But especially in high school where people are just doing it for fun.
And you know, Finn is doing it for fun at this point. Yes. He has not expressed to anyone that he wants to go to New York with Rachel and be on Broadway.
Yeah.
That is not something he has expressed.
Yes.
So let him have fun. This is a club for fun. Why are we so obsessed with freaking winning nationals and being on Broadway right now? Let's have a freaking, oh my gosh.
And to go
have
off,
fun, please.
To go off what you were saying at the beginning of this episode, why is Will so hung up on winning nationals?
It makes no sense
that he's
to me.
Letting Jesse bully his students.
Yeah.
As soon as Jesse bullied, he says something rude to Finn and you're like, "Hey, Jesse, that's not appropriate." As soon as he says it the second time, he's out. He's not the consultant anymore. The way that Will is well, we need him to win. So I guess he has to cause psychological damage to all of these children. A win is a win. What can I say?
Yeah.
And then
that to me, I think shows true character that if people aren't being uplifted by him, it doesn't really matter that they're being bullied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. But after my man, Jesse tells Rachel that she was fabulous. She's the only one that he gives good feedback to.
Mm-hmm.
And then Santana goes, "Hold on a minute." No, Santana's like, "Wait, this is rigged." And Will goes, "Hold on, Santana. Now I have the final say." And I'm like, "Will, so what?
Stop."
It's yeah. She's correct.
She's still.
He just verbally abused the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And then told Rachel that she was absolutely perfect. It doesn't matter that you have the final say. You should point out that Santana is correct.
Yeah.
Why on earth was he so complimentary to the girl that he's trying to get in the pants of?
Yeah, exactly.
And was so incredibly rude to everyone else.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't like it.
It's very dumb.
Jesse St. James, Jesse St. sucks, but the show does not, make you think that he doesn't. And the thing is mm-hmm. they try and make you think that Will,
yes.
but Will is just standing by and letting it happen.
Yes.
And hear me out, that's just as bad.
Well, in a show, in a story purpose, that is way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesse being a villain and being written as a villain, I love Jesse tearing apart these kids. I think it's hilarious. But when Will, who is written as the hero, lets it happen, mm-hmm. I cannot stand it.
Exactly. And what? Is he afraid of Jesse, the guy he hired to help the club?
Will Schuster, Will Schuh sucks.
Will Schuh sucks.
Yes. Oh, speaking of Will being an inappropriate teacher, why did he agree to have Brittany in the room when they were deliberating who got the audition? I mean, who got the solo? Come on, William.
Come on, William.
One, we've missed Vocal Adrenaline. Mm-hmm. So much this season. They've really been on the back burner. And this is the line that I was like, this is the line that made me realize how much I missed Vocal Adrenaline. Because I feel like in season one, we used to have jokes like this all the time. Jesse mm-hmm. talking about Vocal Adrenaline's rehearsal process, that they are 3 weeks into 24-hour day rehearsals. They are on IV drips. And then the best part is when he says, "You know what happens at Vocal Adrenaline if someone dies during a number? They use them as a prop, mm-hmm. like Weekend at Bernie's."
Mm-hmm.
I miss Vocal Adrenaline, man.
No.
Where have they been?
I am Vocal Adrenaline's number one fan.
That's true.
I just, even hearing those words, I was like, well, Vocal Adrenaline deserves to win then. if they've been practicing for 3 weeks and this club doesn't even know what they're doing and they have to figure out what they're doing on the plane ride there,
mm-hmm.
I'm sick of this club.
Can you imagine? Will is so up in his business about they have to win nationals, and yet he is all right, everyone, you have exactly 1 week to write songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he is we have, it is the most important thing in the world to me that we win this competition, so you better write a song that's good enough for us to win, or I'm going to be very upset mm-hmm. about it. Ridiculous. My personal final thought on this episode.
Okay.
I don't know if this is as funny as it was to me in the moment. It was just like such emotional whiplash. After the funeral, Quinn gets in the car with Finn and she says, "Why are you crying?" And he says, "Because I'm breaking up with you." And something about the way that that line was worded, it is immediately after Imagine. I mean, pure imagination. So as I mentioned, I had been like pretty violently sobbing.
Yes.
And like I was like tears streaming down my face, still crying. And then I heard that line and like the fastest mood shift I ever have immediately burst out laughing uncontrollably. It's like it's so 0 to 100 that it's like a very beautiful, soft number with like videos of Gene. And then Quinn goes in the car. "Why are you crying?" "Because I'm breaking up with you." And I was like, "Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Where are we going with
like,
this?"
Like, one, why is Quinn asking why is he crying?
Susie, you got that out of a funeral.
So honestly, I like that they broke up. I think I'm pro them breaking up. That scene is so weird. And who wrote that? And especially the moment where, like, Quinn starts crying and she turns. She's like, "Are you happy now?" And he's like, "No, don't cry. I still love you."
I hated
and it's
that.
Like, first of all, she was crying when she got in. It's been a very emotional day for all of you. Of course she's crying. So weird. And it's like the way that Quinn like turns and like is crying. And then she walks away like staring at Finn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Ryan Murphy. Sorry, I just hit my microphone. Ryan Murphy, shut the door.
Yeah, I also really hated that because I thought that Finn had a very good reason to break up with Quinn. Mm-hmm. I think he also like explained himself very well. And especially as we mentioned before, when she talks about prom court and he's like, "Is that all this means to you? Like, I'm looking for an actual like open relationship, not like an open relationship, like an emotionally open relationship. And like, you can't provide that." Mm-hmm. And then for him to be like, "Wait, don't cry. I still love you." It's like completely undermined the whole thing.
I know. Quinn also has this line that's like, "I can handle your confusion about Rachel." And it's like, why'd you phrase it like that, Quinn? Is it because you have confusion about Rachel?
Dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
I will say, though, it is in keeping with Finn's character that he would, because he cares so much what other people think of him, that he would, like, when she started crying, he would be like, "Wait, but
yeah, totally.
But I do still care about
and
you.
Like, and like, don't get out of the car, I'll drive you home." You know, like, yeah.
All right, do you have other funeral thoughts?
I don't think so.
Okay, well,
okay.
That's a sneeze and rap on funeral. Achoo.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Dum, dum, dum.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Ian, what was your best part of the episode?
My best part. What was my best song? It's probably My Man. I was between that and Pure Imagination. I really liked Pure Imagination. I also, just because I talked a lot of crap on some people, I do want to shout out that I think Kurt sounds incredible on Pure Imagination. I think he sounds wonderful. But yeah, I think My Man is my best part song. My best part is, I like the section of this episode that is just the auditions.
Yeah.
We have a lot of funny Jesse content, and then we get spotlight moments for Santana, Kurt, and Mercedes, who do not always get spotlight moments.
Yeah, totally.
I really enjoyed that section of the episode.
Yeah.
What is your best plot?
I think my best plot, my best song, probably My Man, but to say something different, I would say Back to Black.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I love her. I'd say my best part, I'm glad that Howard Benbu is back.
Ugh, Howard.
And also gone too soon.
Ugh, Howard.
I would probably say that. No, probably not. But I think I like, the scene with Rachel and Finn in the hallway.
Yes.
He's like, "I've been working so hard. My dreams are being dashed. I'm upset." I love that part. Been there, King. Ian, what was your worst part?
My worst part was probably the fact that this episode tries to frame an audition process as bad.
Yeah.
And Will's, like, very obvious favoritism as a good and positive thing. And how it consistently is trying to laud him as a hero.
Yeah.
For just giving everything to Finchel without giving anyone else an opportunity.
Absolutely.
What about you?
I think my worst part is Gene shouldn't have passed away.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, what a terrible way to just, like, make her even more of a plot device than she already was.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts about that.
Well.
Do we have an assignment? Because Hermie and I have not thought of one.
I think the assignment would maybe be, like, what would you audition with?
Well, hear me out, my man.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. What was my audition? What was my, like, go-to audition number in high school? The thing was, my high school did not make us audition with our own stuff. It did not prepare me for the real world. Mm-hmm. They would have us audition with sides from the show that we were doing, so I didn't have, like, a go-to.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. This was what I auditioned for our college's BFA program with, was The Bridge of, which I don't think I would do this for Jesse St. James, but The Bridge of Meek, Shall, and Harriet from Little Shop of Horrors. The my future starting.
You mean the best part of the whole show?
100%. I have to let it. I would sing that. That's what I'm singing for the national solo. And I honestly, I think I'm going to get it. So look but out, Rachel.
There's Audrey. Lovely Audrey, if life were tawdry and impoverished as before, she might not like me, she might not want me, without my plant, she might not love me anymore. They see them challenging.
Where do I sign? Right on the line.
Not a question of it.
That'll do fine.
It's not demand and supply.
This copy's mine. Couldn't go wrong.
If all this got to you in line.
Bye bye, so long.
You know the Meek are gonna get what's coming to them. You know the Meek are gonna get what's coming to them. You know the Meek are gonna get what's coming to them. Bye.
Hey. I don't know
where I am. Bye. You left me hanging.
Well, I didn't know the harmonies.
Anyways.
Well, that's our audition for you guys. Hope we get the part. I'm auditioning for Seymour, and as is Ian.
Yes, we want to.
Gosh, I actually would love to play Seymour so
we
bad.
We want to play them as scary twin, the twins from The Shining.
We are the twins from The Shining.
We just speak in unison the whole time.
Well, how?
All right. Well, that's funeral.
If you guys have thoughts on this funeral, go ahead and send them to, you can either send us a voicemail to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, or you can email them to us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You should totes defs follow us on social media. You can follow us at recoveringgleek_podcast on Instagram and also TikTok. And then tick and also talk. And then you can follow us at recoveringgleek on Twitter. We have weekly polls, be there or be square.
If you want to support this podcast with words, you can do it by leave. I just am going through different suggestions of an accent. Well, you can do it on Apple Podcasts. You can rate us, leave us a review. If you want to support us with that sweet, sweet green, that cheddar, that lettuce, you can do so. Or literal, don't support us with literal cheddar and lettuce.
I love cheddar and lettuce.
You can do so on anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You can click the support button.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Love you so much. Here is a kiss on your forehead. If you want it. If you don't want it, don't take it.
If you don't want it, go back and listen to that again, but mute the kiss.
But mute the kiss.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I'm going to try these. their supplements the more I look at them. And it says the serving size is 2. Do not proceed 8. Proceed eating 8 in a day.
What are they?
They're B12 infused dark chocolate. Here, do you want me to?
Yeah, eat one. Give us a review.
Okay. It's got candy coating, so you'll hear it.
This is the ASMR corner.
Yummy.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'm eating the...
These came in my...
These came in my... I get birth control delivered to me in the mail. So this came with that. They're called Source Hype.
And they are, say it with me, yummy.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.